Hello and welcome to an NBA predictions episode of the Basketball Fiends Podcast, a proud member of the R Esquina Podcast Network. My name is Jesus Acevedo Jr.
And I am Alex Aguilera. And like Jesus said, we are here with an NBA season's prediction. So we are about 20 games, give or take, for some teams, give or take, into the season. And we feel confident, or we feel good about predictions that we've lined up.
Exactly. I mean, we have 20 games of insight over the experts, because there's people that are experts. They know more basketball than us. We are fiends, but these people have been covering the games, you know, more on a day-to-day basis, right? And this is their career, so they're the experts. But they hadn't seen the 20 games we've seen. So we've seen 20 games of most of these teams, some more than others. And like you said, I think we feel confident in our predictions. And our first prediction that we're coming up with is, and I'll ask you, Alex, who is going to be the NBA champion this season?
All right, so I got a very basic answer. It's the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay. Right off the bat, I'll tell you, I have the LA Lakers as well.
Okay. Because, I mean, like, look, it's basic. You could say, oh, whatever. But, I mean, hey, it's true. Like, this team is, you know, you could argue has gotten even better, you know, since last season. I think one of the things that stands out to me about the Lakers is actually Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
He has been a great silent season. I saw his stats earlier today, and I was surprised. Yes.
Yeah, he's averaging like 10 points off the bench. He's shooting like 50% from three, and he's shooting like, you know, 52% from the field. So, like, he's had a really efficient year.
I think he has the best plus-minus of the whole team, if I'm not mistaken.
I want to say, Yeah, so, I mean, he's just having a very efficient season. Once again, you said it kind of quiet, like his numbers don't stand out to you a lot, but he's having a really solid year. And one thing that I found out interesting is this guy on the team named LeBron James.
that guy's pretty good for a veteran.
Yeah, he's not bad. Right, for a veteran.
For a 36-year-old.
he's not too shabby. He's shooting 41% from three. And then also I noticed, too, he's only playing like 32 minutes, and it's one of the like lowest average minutes he's played in a while.
To Miami's when you probably have to go when he was not Miami, but yes, it's one of the lowest in a while. But here's why I think the Lakers are gonna win. They have a great defense, and we all know in the playoffs, defense wins championships. You know, you can get away with it in the offseason, but when it comes to matter, defense wins championships in the playoffs, and they just got better. And you said it, their offseason acquisitions, I think, help them on both sides of the floor. Montrezl Harrell, who they robbed from the Clippers, people forget, he had a bad bubble, but he played really good before the bubble. He saved the Clippers in a couple games last season. So there's that. And then Marc Gasol, I mean, we know what Marc Gasol gives you. Former NBA Defensive Player of the Year, one of the best basketball IQs in the league. And then Dennis Schroeder, that I've always liked Dennis Schroeder going back to his Hawks then. He's exactly what they needed. You know, you can even have him coming off the bench, and if you want more defense, you start Caldwell. But I think they're well-positioned, this team, and they know their roles. That's what's key. They know their roles.
Another guy that stands out to me, too, is Talen Horton-Tucker.
Yes.
Not just because he's a Chicago kid, but he's actually playing some solid minutes off the bench, and he's giving, like, pretty solid numbers.
I first took notice of him last year when the Lakers played the Rockets, and they were playing this rookie, the Lakers, and that's how much confidence the coaches had to throw this rookie in a playoff game. And he did a, I mean, obviously he was guarding James Harden, but you know, he was young. He's long. He has some lengthy arms.
Yeah,
super long. Like, and he has a nice little stroke. But I think what I like is his defensive effort. You know, and he's that
kind of. He's kind of a scrappy dude. He's a scrappy dude that's gonna do sort of the dirty work. You know, not stuff that necessarily shows up on the stat sheet, but he's a little scrappy dude. And I think, honestly, like, his potential, like, I don't know what it is. I think that's what's so intriguing about him. And actually, one point I wanted to get back to that you had mentioned about defense was just, I don't know, I'm kind of like a basic, like, stat kind of guy. So I had noticed that the Lakers are ranked third in defensive rebounds. And I think especially for that team that works so well, not only, I mean, you know, you save any type of second chance points to the opposing team, but that creates a lot of transition offense for that team as well. And I think if you got a team with LeBron and you're in transition, like, man, you're going to be dope.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, here's the thing. It's a well-rounded team. You know, five players are averaging over 10 points per game. You could say six. I think somebody's averaging like 9.8. So, I mean, you could say six players are averaging over 10 points.
Right, you could round it up.
You know, this is the basketball things. We round up. So, six players are averaging over 10 points per game. You know, and here's the thing. Anthony Davis hasn't really got going yet. He's kind of had a slow start. Like, right now, LeBron...
Yeah, he's slumping a little bit. I mean, like, for him.
For Davis. Like, most players in the NBA would like to slump how Anthony Davis is slumping this season, you know?
Up and down, the Lakers are just stacked. I mean, when you got just LeBron James and Anthony Davis on a team alone, you know, that's just going to shoot you up as a championship contender. But, I mean, just through and through, KCP, even Caruso.
We haven't talked about Caruso. Like, my boy Caruso, man. I'm telling you, man. He's doing it.
Shout out to Alex Russo for making us Alexes look good out there in the NBA, because there aren't a lot of us out there, but, you know, he's doing God's work.
Well, look, I'll tell you this. Speaking about the Lakers, it's good as we roll on into our second topic here. Who's the MVP of this, or who's going to be the MVP of the season? And I'll start with my pick. You know, I was undecided. Before the season, I didn't know who to pick, right? But now 20 games in, this is who I was undecided between, LeBron James and Joel Embiid. But at the end, I chose LeBron James just because of what he's done this season. Oh. I feel this is, you know, you mentioned it in the last topic. You know, he's shooting 42% from three, overall shooting 49% from the field, 36 years old. And I think this is probably one of the most efficient shooting years he's had. And it's just being efficient about his shots. You know, he wasn't a great shooter never, but he was a clutch shooter and he was a solid shooter, you know. But now, if he's hitting shots like that all season long, watch out.
It's scary. And I mean, I think that was one thing coming into the league that was sort of, I guess, hindering LeBron in a sense, was that he didn't necessarily have that shooting game. And now, I mean, what is it? He was 7 for 11 from 3 against Cleveland the other day. So, I mean, damn, dude, if he's like an efficient shooter, it's LeBron to begin
first
with,
all, right?
But for him to just be right, and he already had like a decent jump shot, but now for it to become even more consistent than it already was, I mean, I don't hate that pick at all, man. It's LeBron.
Right. So now who's your MVP pick?
So, you know, I kind of wanted to go with someone who I've, you know, just sort of not necessarily off the radar. But you know what? I went with Kawhi Leonard.
Okay, Kawhi Leonard.
I went with Kawhi Leonard. You look at the Clippers, they're 13-4. So, I mean, you know, aside from what happened in the bubble and all that stuff, I'm looking at Kawhi Leonard and he's actually having like a good season. I want to say he's averaging 25 points a game, you know, on par with LeBron, shooting 50% from the field. I think a stat that I love, I'm a big free throw guy, and dude shooting 90% from
freebies.
The free throw line.
You got to get them. They're free.
You got to get them, and he's getting them at 90%. That is an A minus, or an A, if we're not counting plus and minuses, because that grading skill is just awful. But anyway, back to my point, is that, I think Kawhi Leonard is on this mission for this season, especially what happened in the bubble. And I mean, I know he's out right now, I think, because of protocol reasonings, but he's having a really solid year. I mean, dude's like arguably the best two-way player in the league, and I think that's going to continue on in the season. As long as he stays healthy, he doesn't get like mashed in the jaw by a 7-footer. we all know who he is as a player, and I think this is a year where he sort of elevates his game to that next level, to that MVP caliber.
It's very interesting. We each pick an LA player. You know, and I know that's what everybody would love to see in the Western Conference Finals, is a LA versus LA matchup, which is what everybody wants to see in the bubble and before Denver ruined that, you know, little party that LA won and would have. But it's I think with Kawhi, it's just about him being consistent, and play enough games? I mean, obviously he'll play enough games to be considered MVP, but if, you know, he likes to have those games where he likes to like sit down and, you know, rest and take care of his body, which, you know, that is right. But with the media, the people, the voters, would they see that differently than LeBron, who, if LeBron is healthy, he's going to play.
True.
Yes, he'll take days off. You know, not days off, sorry, but he'll take games off here and there. But I think not as much as Kawhi has taken in the past. But then again, Kawhi has had more injury history than LeBron.
That is true. And I do like your pick with LeBron. I think that's very reasonable. Like, you know, you can't really argue that too much. My only thing with LeBron is sort of, I don't want to call it a step back per se, but I don't think necessarily he's going to be, well, once again, it's LeBron, so he'll probably never hear this, but for some reason he hears this and hears me say this, he's going to just go off and put up huge numbers like he did against Cleveland. But I think you see him sort of take a step back this season per se and allow guys like Anthony Davis, you know, like Montrezl Harrell to play a bigger role in the offense. And once again, he'll become sort of more of a playmaker.
And I do wonder if he's maybe not shouldering some of the load, but having these big scoring nights and having a lot more, you know, shooting more and, you know, being more efficient is because Anthony Davis is still ramping up, is still getting ready to go.
Exactly. So having guys like that takes a lot of the load off. But, I mean, he's going to put up numbers, no doubt. So.
He is LeBron, after all. So, now, here we go. You know, where we go for MVP, we're going to go on the other end. You know, we had a lot of young rookies enter the NBA this season. A lot of good picks. So, we're going to go with Rookie of the Year. Who's your pick, Alex?
Tyrese Haliburton from the Sacramento Kings. I think he's just been very solid. I mean, I think it hurts him in the sense because he's on Sacramento.
Right.
And, I mean, it's kind of hard to stand out when you're in a market like in Sacramento. No offense, by any means, with all due respect.
Sacramento, if you take offense, I mean, Sacramento, let us know in the comments.
Man, my bad. I'm just saying. But anyway, I like what he's doing so far on Sacramento. He's averaging, 11 points. Like, he's just been a very consistent player to start off the season as a rookie. He's shooting 50% from the field as well. He's averaging about 5 assists a game as well. He had, what is it? I think he had 16 points on 7 for 13 shooting against the Knicks the other night, I think on the 22nd. So, I mean, he hasn't been putting up big numbers, but once again, he's a rookie, but he started off very solid this year, and I like him as an early front runner so far, and I think he could take it this year.
My pick is going to be LaMelo Ball from the Charlotte Hornets.
Okay.
Yes. I know, but I can't deny what LaMelo's doing in Charlotte. You know, 12 points per game, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Now, I would like him to have those assist numbers higher, you know, because I feel he's a better
– He's such a big playmaker. Yeah.
But I think he's also Coach, there was this quote, you know, because his coach said that he's trying to decrease his minutes just a bit to see if that'll fix some of his turnover issues. Because I think, you know, he's a young playmaker trying to maybe make too much happen at the moment and still getting used to the speed of the NBA game, you know. I think, but what he's done in this, 20 games right now, I think he's shown why I think he's the best baller, you know, of the whole family.
Best ball brother
out of all. I think he has the best all-around skills. He has the best game for him to last in the NBA and be an impact player. You know, it's obviously it's only 20 games, things happen, but I think he'll be my Rookie of the Year right now.
I mean, it's LaMelo Ball. I mean, regardless of what you may think of him, I mean, the guy is just super talented. I think just from a pure talent standpoint, out of this draft class, he's probably got the most.
I mean, he became the youngest player in NBA history to post a triple-double.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You got to give it to him. I guess my only grip with LaMelo Ball is somewhat of that inconsistency. Like you had mentioned the turnovers, and I'm like, okay. And you also mentioned how the coach is going to, you know, bounce around with his numbers and whatnot. So that's where, you know, I like Haliburton out of Sacramento because I see a little bit more consistency out of him. Once again, not huge numbers, but, 11 points a game, like, that's pretty much what you've been seeing, you know, since he's played.
Here's what I say about Tyrese Haliburton. I didn't know who he was until, you know, I'm here in Houston, so I watch a lot of Houston Rockets game until they played the Kings back-to-back, and I was like, who is this guy, number zero? He is giving it to the Rockets, and I was like, Haliburton. You know, so even the Rocket sports announcers were making fun because there used to be a Haliburton here in Houston. So they were saying, Haliburton returns to Houston, you know, because he gave it to Houston. And yeah, his game, what I saw was that It's very, it's not flashy, well, at least not from what I saw in these games. It's just very, like, very Kawhi-esque in that it's very, you know, solid, very simple, you know, fundamentals, obviously very athletic, but just not as flashy as LaMelo Ball, might you, you know? But right. Yeah, that's a good pick. I wasn't thinking that you were going to pick somebody, not that he's out of the blue, you know, because he's put up numbers, but not somebody that I would have expected.
Yeah, so I mean, that's where I went with them. Just I like that consistency, that quiet-esque, like you mentioned, just a very solid player. Nothing too flashy, but, you know, whatever numbers he's putting up, that's what he's going to give you. But you know what? The LaMelo pick, I don't hate. I mean, just you look at the potential in that kid, in his playmaking ability. Like, he's a rookie, and you can already say, like, that's somewhat at an elite level already. And just imagine what it could become once he's, you know, a seasoned player. He's been in the league a couple of years. He understands, you know, the flow of the NBA game. So, I mean, I don't hate the LaMelo Ball pick either. Yeah.
Now, from rookies and players, we go to coaches. We all know that coaches, it's a carousel. You know, it's a make or miss. It's a win or lose league, if you want to call it that. So, who do you think will be, or over under, how many coaches will get fired midseason and after the season?
Oh, man, how many coaches? Oh, we had a timer going off. Check the oven. If you got something cooking. I remember I almost burned something one time, but anyway.
Well, what coaches will have to be cooking? What coaches are on the hot stove? There we go. That's a transition.
There you go. I mean, there's a couple guys, I think, you know, I guess for a coach who's on a good team, Mike Budenholzer.
That's an interesting pick, and I think it's not one that I will make, but I can see why you make it, because, you know,
I'm not saying he's on the hot seat. It's kind of lukewarm, like he's on the preheat.
Maybe it's just because,
you know, setting
maybe
type
it's,
of deal.
It's a situation where if the Bucks decide to do it, right, whereas it'll be after the season and it'll be after another failure to reach the final, maybe the Bucks see it as, we need that one last piece. We have the talent. Maybe we just need that one coach that's going to push him over the edge. It could be that kind of situation. Okay, so that's a good one.
So, that's one guy where, you know, it's the seat's getting a little warm there. Seat's getting a little warm. I think he's in a situation where he really needs to find success in Milwaukee if he wants to stay there. Another one that I think is probably obvious you may have gotten is Scott Brooks out of Washington.
I didn't realize he had been coached since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I feel
and
like
his first couple seasons were decent.
His first couple seasons were decent, but I think the whole Wall injury maybe put a little kind of derail what that team was trying to do. And, you know, he was out, what, almost 2 years. So, and while Bradley Beal was putting up numbers, it wasn't enough to overcarry them to the next step, to the next level. So that's not a bad one. Here are two more that I think to keep an eye on. Ryan Saunders at the T-Wolves. And Dwayne Casey with Detroit Pistons.
Dude, oh my God. You stole my other two. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I mean, what are the Pistons doing? Seriously, I don't know. They let Christian Wood walk. They signed Mason Plumlee to a large contract, which, I mean, he's a solid NBA player. Not someone I would give that large contract to, especially for what he's done this season. And just overall, I'm not quite sure the direction of that team. And then with the T-Wolves, you know, Ryan Saunders, you know, the son of Flip Saunders, who has a long history there. Rest in peace, Flip. And I feel like it might be time to you know, start a new pathway towards a new mindset.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. With the Dwayne Casey situation in Detroit, like, I think you hit it right on the button. Like, I don't know what direction that team is going. I mean, you got Blake Griffin there, you got D Rose there, but outside of that, it's like, who's in Detroit? And you mentioned Mason Plumlee too. It's like, okay, outside of that, you know, even the common NBA fan is just kind of like, all right, the Detroit Pistons are there. They got, you know, some names that you recognize, but other than that, it's like, okay, what are they trying to do? I mean, at this point, you know, I guess you not necessarily hope you sort of expect that they should be making some moves soon, whether, you know, Rose is on the move. I was hearing some rumors about, you know, him making a move to, I think, like, Atlanta or the Knicks, were teams that were kind of looking at him. I mean, same deal with Blake Griffin. It's like, you know, you got guys there and this team isn't going anywhere. It's like, well, what are you going to do now? And I don't see any attempt there. And I think in the situation with Minnesota and Ryan Saunders is that, I mean, I don't know, like since he's been at the helm in Minnesota, I haven't really seen much improvement there.
It's been, I feel, more of the same. Yeah, there hasn't been an improvement. I know, you know, he was highly touted. I don't know if I said that right. Whenever he got the job, but I wonder if there might have been some kind of a sentimental aspect to it. Which is fine. You know, give him an opportunity to see how he can be. And unfortunately, it hasn't come to fruition what they would have liked from that relationship. And perhaps it is. Maybe you give him to the rest of the year and see what happens.
Yeah, no. So I think with Ryan Saunders, there's a case where, you know, you want to give it maybe a little bit more time with obviously Anthony Edwards, how that's going to work out with Carl Anthony Towns. But at the same time, too, you want to make sure, can you keep Cat happy in Minnesota? Or is that another guy that may wants out? You know, we don't know, but we'll see. I think, you know, yes, he's on the hot seat, but there's still a case to be made that he needs a little bit more time because now that team is starting to add, you know, the pieces that it wants.
Right. It's odd. None of us picked Anthony Edwards as a rookie of the year, but that's neither here nor there.
Nah. Now, hey, he had that dunk the other day.
Oh, my God. Nice. That dunk was nice.
Yeah, wow. Dude.
Okay.
On Wiseman, too.
Oh, Wiseman. Yes. Oh, yes, that was. Huh? You're right. So now we've reached the point where it's our last NBA prediction topic. And this one, we wanted to do a hot take. Something that we believe for this season that will be maybe out there. Maybe a bit out there. Maybe not everybody will agree. So with that said, Alex, what is your hot take of this NBA season?
All right. So when I hear hot take, like I take it, no pun intended, you know, serious. So I got the Phoenix Suns making a little playoff run.
Okay. How far?
This year, I think, you know, second round, maybe even a conference finals appearance.
Okay.
Like, I think they can make a little run. I know right now that they're in a slump. They've lost four of their last five. You know, basically, like what the Utah Jazz are doing right now at 12-4 is what I expected the Phoenix Suns to be right about now.
Right.
And it's kind of flip-flopped. But, you know, nonetheless, you got pieces there that I think, you know, come playoff time can just, like, catch fire like they did in the bubble. Riding that, you know, bubble bandwagon.
Listen,
Devin Booker's putting up 20 points.
Listen, nobody wanted to see the Suns in the bubble if they would have snuck into the playoffs. Yes, it would have been the 8 seed, but that would have been fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It would have been a fun team. And I think moving forward, this team could ride the wave and, you know, make some noise heading into the playoffs. I mean, you got Devin Booker there averaging 22 points. I want to say it's him, Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul, Cameron Johnson, Dario Saric, and Jay Crowder, are all in double figures points-wise.
Yeah, they have a nice, solid round team, you know. And they're blowing some teams out, and they have a good I think the Chris Paul signing was really well. I wasn't a fan of it in the offseason, to be honest with you, but I was completely wrong, and I don't mind admitting that. Like, he's really helped that team a lot. Now, here's where I'm gonna go Eastern Conference for my hot take.
All right, let me hear it.
The Brooklyn Nets will not make the finals. The Brooklyn Nets will not make the NBA finals. That is my hot take. Now, obviously. Okay. It's more than likely that the Brooklyn Nets make the finals, right? Then we can both agree to that. It's more than likely. So I here's why I think, right? I think they're still figuring out. Obviously, they just made the trade, but I feel offensively they're gonna be okay. They'll figure it out.
Oh yeah,
you know, I think Harden playing point guard, which is what I would do. Have, you know, Kyrie play.
Oh yeah, absolutely, dude.
Have more of a Klay Thompson kind of role where he's just shooting, you know. But I think offensively they'll be okay. I think defensively is where they're gonna struggle. And I think in the playoffs, you know, would those three guys, mainly Kyrie and Harden, will those two guys buy in on defense? We know KD can play good defense, but with Kyrie and Harden, and here's the thing, they don't have good defenders behind them, because more than likely the lineup that are close out most games will be KD, Kyrie, Harden, Joe Harris, and Jeff Green with the current roster they have. That's who I think will be.
DeAndre Jordan.
I wouldn't put DeAndre Jordan out there, because defenses will eat him alive on the pick and roll.
That's true.
So that's what I'm saying. You had Jeff Green, because that way they have shooters all around. Right, but Jeff Green is what, 36 or so, 35 years old, and Joe Harris does not scream great defender to me. So Kyrie and Harden are gonna have to step it up on defense, you know, if they want to make it to the NBA Finals. Because I think teams like the Bucks, like the 76ers, you know, and the Heat, if the Heat, once, I know they're dealing with some injuries right now, but in some NBA COVID protocols, but once the Heat get playing, they play tough defense, and so do the Bucks, you know. And I think those two teams could give the Nets trouble. and scoring. And 76ers as well. You know, who's going to guard Joel Embiid? And maybe you could say, well, DeAndre Jordan. Right, but I if it's DeAndre Jordan,
that's where you wish you had Jared Allen still there.
That's where you wish Jared Allen was still there, you know. So yeah, so that's my hot take, and now I'm gonna take it one step further. So if the Nets make the NBA Finals, that means that I'm wrong. I will cut my hair. Right now it's pretty long. It's about shoulder length, right? As Alex can confirm, it's about shoulder
length. Yeah, no, it is shoulder length. I can confirm. I am not lying.
Maybe I'll tweet a picture so you guys can see it when this episode goes live. So yes, so if the Nets make the finals, then I will cut my hair. I will go all one. I'll do a Southside fade like we do down here in Houston. So that's my hot take. That's my hot take.
Down here in Houston.
So that is my hot take. What do you think?
You know what? I like it. I think you bring up a really good point of how this team is going to perform on the defensive end, especially the playoffs. I think that is a really big question mark on that Brooklyn Nets team. You know, aside from all the talent in the world that team has, you know, can they get it done on the defensive end? And we don't know. You know, we don't know. There's definitely that question mark. Like, I think the biggest question marks that you said in Harden and Kyrie, you know, can they commit as two-way players and get it done on the defensive end? So we'll see. But yeah, once you brought that up, I'm like, yeah, honestly, when you put it like that, it does make you wonder. You know, regardless of all that talent. I mean, look at what happened with them against Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly.
They lost back-to-backs against Cleveland. Not to say that, you know, you hit the panic button by any means. Like, no, they're going to be fine.
Of course.
That's not necessarily a team that you should be going to OT against, you know, in the final scores, like 130 to 130. You know, that just can't happen.
And, I mean, pretty much a lot of their games, they're just going to have to outscore teams by, like, 140, 130. Like, it'll be some high-scoring games because they're not going to play good defense. Now, we're recording this episode Wednesday, January 26th. So there's still about a month, give or take, for the NBA trade deadline. So who knows? Yeah. You know, they can still make some trades, pick up another better center that they can play. Because DeAndre Jordan, while he gives you some defense, he's a liability on offense. I mean, you know, when teams can go at him,
true.
You know, wing. So
I would like to see Brooklyn pick up another big man, if they want to really compete. And, you know, make a deep run into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Obviously, if they had Jared Allen, I think that's kind of out of the question.
Right.
I think they'd be straight. But hey, if you want James Harden, you have to give something up.
There you go.
You know, you have to give him up and Caris LeVert too, which sucks. But at least he's doing okay health wise.
Yeah, he's doing okay. He just got out of surgery today and they expect him to make a full recovery. So shout out to the Pacers for, you know, sticking with them and saying that they're gonna help him through all this situation.
That's great, yeah. And honestly, that trade might have been a blessing in disguise because...
Definitely.
Who would have thought? Well, I will say if Phoenix doesn't make a deep playoff run, second round, conference finals run, man, I'm willing to eat like a super hot pepper on the show.
Ooh, yes. A ghost pepper.
Just like... Oh, my God, no. Okay. I don't know if
how
I
about,
can do
habanero? A habanero. You just put some like lime and salt and you just eat it. Oh, God.
And I just chomped down on it. Okay, I think I could do that.
There we go. A habanero, some lime, some salt. You're just going to chomp down. So the Suns have to make it to at least the Western Conference Finals. Is that correct?
I want to say second round. But I guess if I got to go on for this hot take, they got to make a Western Conference Finals appearance.
Okay. Hey, they don't call it the hot take for nothing.
I know. Yeah, man. Honestly, they need to get hot.
Somebody's about to watch a lot of Suns basketball.
yeah, man.
Well, everybody, thank you for joining us. This was a great episode. This is our NBA Predictions Podcast episode. Obviously, going forward, we'll do this before the season.
Right.
Join us weekly. We'll be coming to you every week. There you go. It's hard. You know, I've been talking it all day long. So we'll be coming back to you every week on Fridays. You'll get four topics for us about what's going on in the NBA. Some topics may be off course. Some topics may not be exactly about what's happening with teams. We'll see what the topics come about. Alex, any last parting words?
Man, these hot takes are just going to be, oh my God. We'll see how it goes, man. We'll see how it goes.
There you go. Well, once again, thank you for joining us. Subscribe. See ya.
Peace.